Thank you, Star. Take your Bibles, turn over to Ecclesiastes. So, cadets, that's page 326, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Middle book of your Bible is Psalms, then go Proverbs and Ecclesiastes right after Proverbs. Just a little book there. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to pray again in just a moment here, and then we're going to look at, I mentioned in Sunday school what I'd be teaching on today, but if you weren't here in Sunday school, we're going to talk about dreams today and kind of significance, what they are in the Bible, maybe perhaps what they are today, what they aren't today, and I think it'll be an interesting subject. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, let's pray again. Lord, we're coming now before your holy word, and God, trying to learn something of you and the way that you dealt with the hearts of men, and just pray that you'd teach us today, God, and I ask that you'd bless and fill me with your Holy Spirit for asking you to do it in Christ's name. Amen. So dreams in the Bible were significant. And today you have people that'll say, well, you know, I've heard of some of the people like in these school shootings or I think the Aurora, Colorado shooting that the shooter said, well, God told me to do it. And you'll have these guys that go out and they'll commit mass murder and say, God told me to do it, or I saw it in a dream, and I tell you that's not true. Now, I'm not invalidating their experience. I'm not saying they didn't have a dream. I'm not saying that something didn't tell them to do it. But I can tell you it wasn't God telling them to do it. I can say that with assurity. But a lot of people today put a lot of stock or put a lot of emphasis on dreams and what they mean. I've mentioned this before, but they have dream encyclopedias, and you know, if you have this in your dream, here's how to interpret it. And I really would like to know where that author got their information. Where did they get it? Was it from research? Was it from the occult? Was it, you know, who knows where it came from? I mean, is this guy an authority on dreams because they dream more than everybody else? Is there a dream college that teaches you how to interpret dreams? I mean, really, this is something that people know very little about, and nobody's is the same. It's not like you can go in, and I know they have equipment to measure brain activity during dreams and during REM, which is rapid eye movement. That's the deepest part of the sleep, and all of those things. And they do have a lot of technology around it, but can they explain why a laser came out and killed the Easter Bunny in your dream, or, you know, and Abraham Lincoln was riding him? I have no idea. And we have weird dreams like that, usually when you're sick and you have a fever. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Fever dreams, they're the weirdest, or you have too much pizza, or whatever the case may be. But there is a lot about dreams in the Bible, and I believe that we can learn about dreams the way God used them in the Bible and perhaps what they are today. Now, 87 times, if you just do a word search for the word dream or dreams or dreaming or any form of that word, it shows up 87 times in the Bible. Old and New Testament combined, it shows up 87 times in the Bible. And you say, well, that's pretty significant. Maybe, maybe not. There is a point where it was significant. Now, dreams in the Bible, when the word dream is mentioned in the Bible, it doesn't always mean that, you know, a vision that you have while you're sleeping. It can mean like, oh, I someday dream about having my own business. Does that mean you go to sleep at night and dream about having your own business? No, it means it's an idea, it's a hope, it's a scheme. And sometimes, a few times, it's used in that context in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and look at verse 3. We're going to look at what God does in dreams in the Bible, how he used them, different ways he used them, and some parameters, it looks like, around dreams in the Bible that will help us to learn more about them. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "For a dream cometh through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words." Now, he said, a dream cometh through the multitude of business. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have a busy day and you're going to go home and dream at night. It could mean that, man, you're a busy person, a multitude of business, and so you're scheming, you're having new ideas, you're innovating, things like that. So it can mean those types of things. Turn to the second to the last book of the Bible, the book of Jude, and verse 8, page 593 for you cadets, almost all the way to the end, probably just in the last 10 pages of those light blue Bibles. Jude, and it's just one chapter long. Right after 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you have the little book of Jude, and then Revelation. It's tucked right in there. Jude, and look down at verse 8. Jude 8. He's talking about, well, look at verse 7. It says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Then he says, likewise also, so he's comparing something. He said, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now, dreamers there isn't referring to someone who is asleep and dreaming. These filthy dreamers, he's talking about people that are scheming corrupt things and wicked things in their mind and imaginations. So dreams can show up as, you know, the Bible calls them visions in the night. In some places, it calls them dreams. In many places where it is when somebody falls asleep and, you know, the picture or whatever comes into their head. It's meant that way many times, but also it can mean ideas, it can mean schemes, things like that. So just keep that in mind and just kind of give us a round out of the meaning that dreams can have. Now turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, in chapter 28, page 15 for the cadets. Genesis chapter 28. Because we're looking at what dreams mean, we're going to have to look at several references in the Bible, so we're going to be turning to many scriptures today, but I believe it's necessary, and I think I hope you'll find it interesting. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. This is not the first time dreams show up in the Bible, but we'll cover that here in just a little bit. Actually, Genesis chapter 20 is the first time that dreams show up. This is the second time it shows up in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 28. And look down at verse 11. It says, and he lighted, this is talking about Jacob, who eventually became Israel. He lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and put them for pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, now this is something he saw when he was asleep. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And this is where you get the term, and it's been made into a song and different things, is Jacob's ladder. It comes from this account right here. Verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it, above the ladder, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And he said, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. That was a very specific dream that God gave him there and spoke to him in that dream. And so God can use, and does, in much of the Bible, God uses dreams to communicate. Now we'll look at different ways he communicates to people in dreams, but he uses dreams to communicate to people. And listen, not just to his chosen people or just to prophets or holy men. He uses dreams to speak to heathen kings even in the Bible. We'll look at that. And you say, well, if God's using dreams to speak to people, obviously people are like, well, what do my dreams mean? Is God speaking to me? Is God telling me something? And we'll get to that. Just to work with me through here on this. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 12. That's page 77. If you're in Genesis, then go Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, chapter 12. I was telling everybody in Sunday school this morning, because dreams can be very compelling sometimes. I've had dreams that I would remember for days, and you know, or they might give me an odd feeling, you know, anxiousness or feeling depressed or down. They can give you all kinds of different feelings after you wake up from a dream, and sometimes you're like, oh, I'm glad it was just a dream and it's done. But I know a Nigerian. He was an Uber driver for me. He's actually a Nigerian pastor also. But he was in Nigeria 25 years ago, so I think he told me he's 61. So this was 25 years ago when he was 44 years old. He was in Nigeria, he was married, he had a child of 6 months old, and he said he had a dream that he was in the United States. He'd never been there before, he was born and raised in Nigeria, but he said, I had a dream that I was in the United States, and he woke up and told his wife about it, and she said, maybe that means we're supposed to move to the United States. Now that's a pretty big decision to make based upon a dream that you had. I mean, maybe it was, you know, too much spice in what you ate the night before or something, and now you're going to pick up your whole family and move thousands of miles across the ocean to a place you've never been, that you don't know what you're going to do, that you have no purpose there, you have no job there, you have nothing there. But he came, he moved to Detroit, and he made a life for himself. He He was a hustler, and he did different businesses. He was a business owner. In fact, he was one of the first businesses. You see the blue Amazon vans that driving around. Well, this guy in Detroit, he started out, and he leased his own vans and then subleased them to Amazon. So they contracted with him for these delivery vans, and he was one of the first companies that started doing that with Amazon. Started out with three vans of his own, and by the time he, you know, got rid of that business, he had over 50 vans and, you know, employees and all of that. So it worked out for him. But was that God telling him to do that? I doubt it. I don't know, but that's what this man did based upon a dream. It was significant in his life. So people can put a lot of stock in dreams, but God uses them or used them in the Bible to communicate to people. And oftentimes, like he did to Jacob, he said, I am the Lord God of Israel, and he revealed himself initially to Jacob in a dream. Now look at Numbers chapter 12, if you're there. Numbers chapter 12. This is Moses, Miriam, and Aaron here. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6. Well, verse 5, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now. So this is God speaking to Moses' brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam. And the Lord came down and he says, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a what? In a dream. So God told him, he said, listen, if there's somebody that is a prophet, he said, I will speak unto him or make myself known unto him. I'll reveal myself to him in a vision, in a dream. And he says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. But here we see God even said, I will reveal myself and speak to people in a vision, in a dream. And he does many, many times in the Old Testament. Turn to Judges chapter 7. You're in Numbers, then go Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. It's page 130, if you cadets want to turn there. Judges chapter 7. So we're going to look at several accounts of where God speaks to people in dreams. And then we're going to kind of look at what God did, how he did it, and help us to understand the whole concept of dreams and how God used them in the Bible. Judges chapter 7 and verse 13. This is Gideon. Now, a lot of people are familiar with Gideon. Gideon went out and, you know, he fought against the people and the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and how Gideon had hundreds and hundreds of men, and God says, that's too many. Gideon's thinking, I thought just the opposite, God. It's not enough. So God put them through various tests, and by that pared down Gideon's forces to just 300 men. And he's going up against all the Midianites with just 300 men, and God miraculously gives Gideon the victory through that. But he's speaking to Gideon here, and actually he's speaking to Gideon through a dream that he gives to somebody else. Judges chapter 7. Let's see here. Well, look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So God told Gideon plainly, you're going to get the victory. But Gideon still wasn't so sure. It says, so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath them in the valley. So Gideon and his 300 men, so, you know, about three times the amount of people we have in here, but he's looking over a valley that is filled with the enemies. And I don't know if he was trying to rationalize and say this is like a 10-to-1 ratio, 100-to-1 ratio. It's probably closer to 100-to-1. Ratio of how many of each of them would have had to kill in order to overcome them by sheer force. So Gideon's probably quickly losing his confidence. Verse 9, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, you see, God knows our heart. He said, Gideon, if you're still afraid, he said, go with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then he went down with Phurah his servant unto the host, outside of the armed men that were in the host. So they sneak down in the dark of night, and they get down on the edge of the camp, and they're listening in to what the enemy soldiers are saying. That's the picture here. Verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. and said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, and the tent lay along." He said, "I had a dream that this big round loaf of bread rolled down into a tent, and it fell over and killed everybody." And his fellow, strange dream, I know. And his fellow answered, verse 14, and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." Now, how that guy knew that, I have no idea. But somehow this guy, maybe God gave him a dream. He said, "Listen, your dream means that we are going to lose the battle." He said, that bread, that was Gideon and coming in and conquering that, knocking that tent over and smiting everybody. He said, "That's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Verse 15. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." So there God revealed himself and encouraged his man Gideon to go fight for him. And how did he do it? He did it through a dream that he gave to somebody else. And Gideon heard that interpretation of a dream. Now turn to 1 Kings. You're in Judges, and they have 1 and 2 Samuel, and then 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3, page 176 for you cadets. So God really did some strange things through dreams in the Bible, and primarily in the Old Testament. And we'll see that in a minute. And I believe that holds some significance as to what dreams mean for us today. 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings 3, and I want you to look at verse 5. Let's see. Actually, we can start in verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. So this was Solomon. For there was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a what? A dream. So this is a famous dream, really, that God appears to Solomon and basically gives him a blank check. He appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Period. He said, "Solomon, what do you want?" He said, because Solomon, and he asked for wisdom here, not riches or anything, and God says, because you asked for wisdom, Solomon, where most men would ask for riches or the hand of their enemies, you know, all he said, "I'm going to give you both wisdom and riches and, you know, your enemies into your hand," all these things. But God came to Solomon and he said, "Listen, I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to give you a blank check. Tell me what you want." And God did that through a dream to Solomon. Now, I'll get a little bit ahead, but one of the reasons that God so often spoke to men in dreams is because none of his word was written, or at least not much of his word. You know, for some of them, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. And so much of the Bible was not even written to some. Now, Solomon had some of the Bible at this time, but they didn't have the completed works of the Bible to look back and say, "Okay, God, speak to me." And so God spoke to them in dreams. There's a couple other reasons, too, that we'll get towards the end of the message of why he did that. Turn to the book of Matthew in the New Testament, first book, page 457, and Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now, the first part of Matthew chapter 1 is just the genealogy. It's the family history of Jesus Christ, his lineage. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So we're familiar with this story. Verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." He said, she got pregnant. And Joseph said, "It's not mine." So in his mind, she was unfaithful to him outside of their engagement, and so he just said, "I'm just going to divorce her privately rather than making it public and making a big deal about it." But verse 20, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, and saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And he goes on and tells him a little bit about what their son's going to be like. And so here, again, God revealed himself to Joseph in a dream and said, "Listen, it's okay to take Mary to your wife. If she wasn't unfaithful to you, the babe that develops in her womb is of the Holy Ghost." And telling him it's going to be the holy child Jesus, who's going to be the Savior of the world. And God revealed that to him in a dream. Now, not only did he reveal himself to them, many times God would warn people in dreams. So to reveal himself, to pass on that information to encourage them or to warn them. Turn back to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel in chapter 2, page 420. You got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. And then you have Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel in chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. It's kind of getting about three-fourths of the way through the Old Testament. But many times God would warn people in a dream. Warn them of, and I've heard accounts. And listen, I am not an authority to speak on this, but I've heard accounts of people, even in modern times, that said, you know, they had a gut feeling or a dream, you know, of some impending danger or impending doom or something like that. And so they refrained from going on a flight or taking a trip or whatever, and to find out that that trip was, you know, doomed or had an accident. I've heard of that on a number of occasions. You say, was that God? Could have been. It could have been. I am not an authority on dreams, and I'm not here to tell you with any kind of certain authority what God is and isn't doing in dreams. But I can tell you what he did in the Old Testament and likely what's going on a lot of today. Now, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. And then the king commanded, and he goes on, and he gets an interpretation of the dream, but God was warning Nebuchadnezzar, saying, listen, the way you're going is not good. You need to dial it back and all this, these things. And because of that dream, God was warning Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. He didn't take heed to it, and we know the results of that dream. But Daniel interpreted the dream for him. So he had a dream, he got interpreted, but God warned him in that dream. Genesis chapter 20, Abimelech takes Sarah, Abraham, and Abraham said, she's my sister. So Abimelech thinks, okay, she's not hitched, and so he takes Sarah to himself. And God comes to Abimelech. Now keep in mind, Nebuchadnezzar and Abimelech are both what we would call paganistic heathen kings. Even though there's some underlying things in there that looks like they knew who God was. But God comes to Abimelech in a dream, and he said, listen, thou art but a dead man, for the woman thou tookest is another man's wife. And Abimelech talks to God, and he says, God, I didn't know it. I did it, you know, in innocency and the integrity of my heart. But God came and gave Abimelech a chance to get right and warned him in a dream. He said, listen, if you don't make this right, Abimelech, you're going to die, and some of your people too. You're in Daniel. Turn back to the book of Matthew in chapter 2 this time. Page 457, Matthew chapter 2. And many times, so God would reveal things. He revealed a prophecy to the prophet Daniel in Daniel's chapter 8, Daniel's chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, in a dream, in a vision. Sometimes it was a vision while they are awake. Sometimes it was a vision in the night. But God would speak to them and reveal himself. He would warn people in dreams. Matthew chapter 2, and look down at verse 12. Matthew 2 and verse 12. And now these were the three magi that came, or the three wise men sometimes they're called, that came to to seek Jesus Christ out. And then when they were gone away, it says here in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Because Herod said, yeah, you go seek out your Christ child. And he said, you come back and tell me. Because Herod wanted to kill him. We know that that was his motive. But God warned those three men of the east. And he says, listen, don't go back through Herod. Go back to your country another way. You know, take this route. And so they were warned of God to go back a different way. Now look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19. Now this is Christ, and this is when he's standing before the governor Pilate, and he's being judged. And it says here, verse 18, it says, for he, Pilate, knew that for envy they, the priests, had delivered him. And it says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, Pilate was set down, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, with Jesus Christ, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So here is Pilate's wife. Now listen, Pilate was not a religious man. He was not a Christian. He was not a believer in Judaism or any of those things. But Pilate's wife said, listen, you better wash your hands of this man. Literally, he did. But he said, you better not have anything to do with this man, because she said, I've had a dream. And she said, I've suffered many things this day because of a dream. And so God spoke to Pilate's wife in order to tell Pilate, listen, you better just drop this hot potato, as it were, with Jesus Christ. So many times God would, again, speak to people, reveal himself, warn people in a dream, all through the Old Testament. 87 times that the word dream shows up in the Bible. Now, some things about those dreams is, without fail, there was always a meaning or an interpretation to that dream. And so there was a purpose for the dreams that God gave people in the Bible. They just didn't have a dream and say, I wonder what that means. Either God revealed to them what the purpose of that dream was, or somebody would interpret that dream to them, or they would know with clarity what it meant. Look at Genesis chapter 37. Just a couple places on this. Genesis chapter 37. First book of the Bible, so page 20 for you cadets if you want to look there. Genesis chapter 37. And this is, we read this in Sunday school, but verse 5, it says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. So Joseph dreamed this dream, and there was no unclarity to it. They knew exactly what the dream meant. It was clear to them. It says in verse 6, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf, representing Joseph, arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. That's pretty clear what it means. He says, listen, you guys, whatever was representing you, bowed down to me. Verse 8. And his brethren said to him, they understood it. Shalt thou indeed reign over us? That was the meaning of the dream. And shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And it goes on, and he dreamed yet a dream more. So Joseph dreamed another dream with the same meaning. And so here, the interpretation was not unclear. It wasn't, well, let's look at this element, and what did you see, and was it fuzzy, was it clear? They knew exactly what it meant. So God gave the clear interpretation, even to Joseph, and even to his brethren. As soon as he told it, they knew just like that what it meant. So the interpretation was given. Turn to Daniel chapter 2, page 421. Daniel chapter 2. When God spoke to Abimelech, he spoke clearly to him, so that Abimelech, there was no doubt in his mind, because God spoke to him in a dream. When he spoke to Jacob, God said, listen, I am the God. I'm the Lord God. And he said, this is what I'm going to do for you, Jacob. You're going to Daniel chapter 2. So all the time in here, when God gave those men a vision or a dream, either he made clear to them what it meant, or they sought out wise men, as we saw that Pharaoh did with Joseph. They sought out wise men that gave the interpretation of that dream, or some prophet that gave the interpretation. But without regard, the interpretation was always given. Okay? That's important to understand. That when God was speaking to them in dreams, he also provided what it meant. It wasn't some ambiguous thing out there that, well, it could mean this or it might mean this, like flipping tarot cards or some occultic thing like that. It wasn't just very vague. God was specific with what he meant. Daniel chapter 2, and look at verse 27. Daniel 2, 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. So the king here sought out all his, again, magicians, the soothsayers, all his wise men. They didn't know what his dreams were. Verse 28, but there is a God in heaven, Daniel said, that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And so God gives Daniel the interpretation, tells him what the dreams are and what the interpretation was. God made it clear. So there were times when God would speak to them directly, tell them what it was. There were times that somebody else interpreted it for them. And so that interpretation's known. Look at Daniel chapter 4. He does it again here in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 5. Or verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream, which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. And then they all came in. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream. And again, God gives Daniel the interpretation of this dream and what it meant. This was the dream of the tree that grew, but then it was cut down, but yet it was sustained with that band of brass, I think it was, and where Nebuchadnezzar, and what they would call this today is lycanthropy, where Nebuchadnezzar was changed into something like a beast. It says his hair grew like eagles, like feathers, and his fingernails like talons and all those things for a time until Nebuchadnezzar, God released him from that and he gave glory to God. But this dream Daniel interpreted and it came to pass exactly as he had said. So dreams in the Bible, many, many times, 87 times the word dream is used. And I didn't look up visions because sometimes there are visions of the night, visions when they are awake, but God spoke to them in dreams and visions. But 87 times the word dream shows up in the Bible, but it only shows up two times after Christ dies on the cross. Only twice. All the other times are in what we technically call the Old Testament, before Christ died on the cross. God was speaking to men in dreams and in visions and all those things, but after Christ died on the cross, it only shows up two times. Now let's look at some of those accounts here. Turn to Acts chapter 2, page 522 for you cadets. Acts chapter 2. Now I believe there's a couple reasons why it drastically reduced after Christ died on the cross. Acts chapter 2. You're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. Chapter 2, and then look at verse 16. So this is one of the references here. Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. We already actually looked at the other reference. It was in Jude 8, talking about these filthy dreamers, which is not even referring to like a dream you have when you're in bed at night. But Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. Verse 15, it says, "For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Am I in the right spot here? Yeah, let's keep going here. "And it shall come to pass in the last days," this is it, "saith God, I will pour out out of my spirit, upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall" what? "Dream dreams." So listen, in the Old Testament, before they had the completed work of God, when they didn't have much of the Bible, and God was primarily dealing with Israel, he's speaking to them in visions and in dreams. Christ dies on the cross, only two times the word dream or some form of it shows up, and one time it's not even talking about dreams like a vision, but when it is, it's referring to the last days, like the last days when God's dealing with the nation of Israel again. And he says they're going to see visions and they're going to dream dreams again. So Cassie and I were talking about this before I even was thinking about studying this, and she says, "Why do we dream?" And I think it came up in the Bible study. We were talking about dreams, and it's come up from Nigeria, and I thought, I'm going to do a message on this. But why do we dream? I said, I have no idea. I said, I know in the Old Testament they dreamt because God, that's how God spoke to them many times, revealed himself, warned them, gave them visions of prophecies through dreams. So I understand that. So maybe it's a functionality that God just didn't shut off because he's going to use that again in the last days, the Bible says, that your young men shall have visions, your old men shall dream dreams. So why do we still dream today? I don't know why we dream. But I know this, God's not revealing prophecies and visions like he was in the Old Testament and in the New, and will be in the last days. You say, why? Because those are times he was primarily dealing with Israel. And the Bible says, and we'll look at it here, it says, "For the Jews require" what? A sign. And a dream, when God gives you a vision or a dream, that's like a miracle, a sign, a wonder. And God's not dealing with men today. You say, how is God dealing with men today? Right here, through his word. And we'll look at that in a minute. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'll show you where that reference is. You're in Acts, then go Romans, then 1 Corinthians. So page 548. God, in the Old Testament, and this is just the way he chose to work, in order to produce faith in the Jewish people, in the Old Testament, before Christ died on the cross, okay, so anything prior to Christ dying on the cross, God would do miracles, signs, and wonders, including dreams and visions, so that Israel would believe in him. Now, some people today say, well, if God would do a miracle in my life, I'd believe in him. That's not the way God works today. Romans chapter 10 says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Today, God is working through his word, which we have the completed work of God, which they did not have in the Old Testament. They didn't have it until the end of the first century, around 60 to 90 AD. They didn't have the completed work of God until the first century. But we have it now, and God is using his word. Now, we'll look at that again as we finish up here. So 1 Corinthians 1, this is just a reference I mentioned earlier, verse 22. He says, for the Jews require a sign, and that was in the Old Testament, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. He said, but we preach Christ crucified. Not signs, not wonders, not miracles, not dreams. He said, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Okay, so visions in the New Testament. There were visions. Acts chapter 16, God gave a vision to a man. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, God gave a vision to a man. And it was the same man both times. And it was the Apostle Paul. And God was, the Apostle Paul, God had used in a miraculous way. He had a unique, miraculous salvation, the Apostle Paul did. God revealed the indwelling Christ. God revealed many things to Paul that he hadn't revealed to anybody else. And so God was dealing with Paul in a special way. So the two times, the only two times I can find in the New Testament where God gave a vision or a dream to somebody, it was the same man, and it was not an ordinary man. It was the Apostle Paul, okay? So far as God dealing with us through his word today, and I'm almost done, and not in visions or things, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. You say, I have a dream, and God told me this. You know what I would, as a pastor, what I would counsel you? I'd say, does it line up with what's in the Bible? You know, because God can burden somebody in a dream. God can maybe call a missionary to the field or something like that. I believe God can do that. And God can work through dreams. I believe that. But if it does not line up with this, according to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, he says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So if you say, well, how do I interpret a dream? Does it line up with Scripture? With how God is working with us today through his word. Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, page 588. Just three more references and we'll be done. Page 588, 2 Peter chapter 1. So you have Hebrews and James toward the end of the Old Testament, and then 1 and 2 Peter chapter 1. Now again, I know there's people that will say, well, an angel came and spoke to me, or I heard God's voice, okay? I got something better. I can tell you that. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 16. 2 Peter 1:16, he says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So that's one thing. They were eyewitnesses of Christ's majesty. That's pretty good. Verse 17, it said, for he, Christ, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him. From the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard. So they were eyewitnesses, and they heard God's audible voice. He said, this voice, verse 18, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Okay, that's pretty good. All right, I don't know anybody that has seen Christ's glory and heard God's audible voice at the same time. Hasn't probably happened. Verse 19, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, he said the Bible is a more sure than being an eyewitness of something and hearing God's audible voice. Again, because if it speaks not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. In other words, God has given us everything he wants to instruct us in about life and spirituality and salvation and heaven and hell and all those things are contained right here in his word. He doesn't need to speak to us in dreams today to tell us about his plans because it's all here. Let me keep reading that. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed. To what? To the Bible. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So a more sure word of prophecy. Turn to one more place. 1 John chapter 5, page 591. 1 John chapter 5. So can God warn people in dreams today? Yeah, I believe he probably can. I'm not going to say whether it's that or not, but God telling someone to go massacre people, that's not happening. That's contrary to the Bible. If it's anything that is contrary to Scripture, we know that it is a false dream. It's not true. They're taking heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, things like that that the Bible says, because the Bible's more sure than eyewitnesses. It's more sure than the voice of God coming out of heaven. The Bible's more sure than that. Now, 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 8. It says, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. This is talking about the Trinity. If we receive the witness of men, whether it's of your own dream or somebody else's dream, he says, if we receive the witness of men, which we do, it says the witness of God is greater. Okay? So whatever dream, whatever witness somebody said that they had, the witness of God is greater. You say, what's the witness of God? Keep reading. For this, the Bible, is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this, again the Bible, is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So apart from any dream you've ever had or anyone's ever had, this is the final authority right here, the Bible. This is the record that God had given to us of eternal life. I don't care if an angel or if God seemingly himself appeared to you and said salvation is some other way, this is the record. That it's through Jesus Christ, his Son, through his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, not through a religion, not through a denomination, not through tradition, not through a process, but it's through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection on the cross that we get eternal life. And that is more sure than anything else. You say, how do I know? How do I know? Because the Bible said so. And this is a more sure word of prophecy. This is a greater witness than the witness of man. I don't care if a priest, a pastor, or somebody else says, no, it's some other way. But what's the Bible say? And we just read, it's the record of eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you trusted him? Don't be trusting in some other thing, in a dream, whether it's a vision that a relative have or somebody else had, and they told you about it. This is the greater witness right here. It's through Jesus Christ, his Son. So what are dreams today? It could be a multitude of things. But first of all, they got to line up with the Bible. And in the Bible, when God gave a dream, he always gave the interpretation. He always gave the meaning. It was always clear of what it was to be. It wasn't just some ambiguous thing. And keep in mind, after Christ died on the cross, only twice did it show up, and it was both times with Paul. It's going to show up again in the last days when God's dealing with Israel. So that was primarily in the Old Testament for Israel to reveal himself to them before the Bible was completed. And when he's dealing with Israel again, it's going to show up again. But today, we have everything we need right here. So don't be going off of some dream, saying what I heard in a dream. Go off of the Bible. Get in this. Don't waste your time with what dreams mean, and get in the Bible. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for how you have taught us through your word. God, help us to heed it rather than seducing spirits or dreams or things that we